The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What kind of salvation is not eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can go to faithalone.org. Now, as you might know, on the show, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got one of those questions that keeps you up at night as you're scratching your head, hope you'll send it to us. We'd like to see it. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. Bob, are you ready for some questions?
I'm ready to rumble.
All right, we got a big old pile here of questions. Let me see if I can find some good ones. Here is a question from David, and David is asking about Romans 10, verses 9 to 13.
Let me hear the question, and then I'm going to throw out a general answer before we get specifically into the passage.
Okay.
But go ahead.
So David asks, what type of salvation could a person desire if not eternal salvation and only that? If Jesus died on a cross, then how would a person expect a comfortable life here and now? And then he says, the evidence of salvation is a true knowledge of the heart that Jesus is Lord, and the true Christian endures until the end. So his question is about, what kind of salvation could you possibly want if it isn't eternal salvation?
Okay. He's got about four questions there. So before I get into the specifics of Romans 10, 9 through 13, and also his other questions, let me throw this out. Let's hypothetically say that Paul's talking about eternal salvation from hell, or salvation from eternal condemnation in Romans 10, 9 through 13.
Yeah.
Well, then what we know is it can't contradict John 3:16. It can't contradict Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It can't contradict 1 Timothy 1:13. It can't contradict Acts 16:31. It can't contradict John 5:24 or any of the other texts that say that the one who simply believes in Jesus has everlasting life, or that the one who believes in Jesus is saved forever.
All those verses say there's one condition to be eternally saved, and that is to believe
in him.
Romans 10 presents a slightly different situation.
So if the salvation in Romans 10, 9 through 13, requires more than faith in Christ, then it can't be salvation from eternal condemnation. Because the only condition for that is faith in Christ.
Right.
I recently wrote a book, Faith Alone in 100 Verses. I go through one Old Testament text and 99 New Testament texts, and I show that they present the idea that the only condition is faith alone. So that's number one. Number two, let's take David's first question. What other type of salvation could a person want?
Yeah, and I think, David, I would like to challenge you. Just go to the Gospels and look up the word salvation and just see what kind of salvations people wanted and needed from Jesus. Think about the lepers, and they wanted to be saved from their leprosy. David, wouldn't you agree that that is a legitimate thing that you want to be delivered from? Or think about the epistle to James, where James talks about the trials of life. Aren't there trials in your life that you call out to God to be delivered from? Isn't that a legitimate form of salvation? If you're not convinced, we have a free ebook by Bob that's taken out of his book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, about salvation. I think the title is Salvation from What? Because in your book and in that chapter, you go over, as a good Bible student, you just look up all the uses of salvation and you come to a certain conclusion.
When you look at salvation in the Old Testament, it's never salvation from eternal condemnation, not with those words. The saved or delivered words are salvation primarily from enemies.
Right.
Like David, the questioner, has the same name as King David.
Right.
And King David was always crying out for God's salvation from his enemies.
Think of him as a shepherd boy being attacked by lions and bears, or as the king anointed being attacked by Saul, or later when he was a king and he's fighting against the Philistines, being attacked by them, and then by dissension within his own kingdom and backstabbing by his son. Don't you think that David had a legitimate desire for a salvation from those trials?
Right. And David, as king, also wanted the nation to be saved from the surrounding nations that wanted to destroy Israel, which, by the way, is quite appropriate today, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure.
But on top of that, we see in Romans 9 through 11 the idea that God is going to save the nation of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking at a national salvation where the entire nation is going to be delivered from Gentile domination. That's where Romans 9 to 11 is going. In 11:26, he says, then all Israel will be saved. And I think what that means is not that all Israel will be born again, because babies and children in Israel won't be born again, but they will be saved. The salvation of Israel is going to be the entire nation is going to be delivered from the Gentiles who, at the end of the tribulation, will surround Jerusalem and be about to destroy it. Mm. And the nation will be taken into the land. Now, it is true that 100% of the adult Jews who survive the tribulation will be born again. Because in, for example, Matthew 24:13, the Lord says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Mm. And in Matthew 24, salvation is surviving the tribulation. We see that in Matthew 24:22.
Right.
And so the point is that every Jew and Gentile who is an adult who survives the tribulation will not only be born again, but they will be faithful believers.
Right.
And so any unfaithful believers will die during the tribulation, and the result is all adults will survive. But when he says all Israel will be saved, that even includes children and babies. They're going to be saved too, not saved in terms of eternal life. So look at Romans 10:9-13 real quick.
Right.
Maybe you could read that.
Sure. I'll start at verse 8.
Yeah.
What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, we don't have time for a lengthy discussion of this. We've discussed this on other shows. It's also available on the free ebook you're talking about. But let me just briefly, and also we have Zane Hodges' full commentary on Romans.
Yeah, you should definitely go to that commentary, which actually I'm retypesetting at the moment, and it's going to be part of our Free Grace commentary series, and you'll be able to find that at our web store or on Amazon.
Okay, so notice Paul is citing a reference from Deuteronomy 30, and then he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Which, there's different ways people take this. Some people say this just simply means saying the words Lord Jesus. Some people say it means crying out to the Lord Jesus. Zane Hodges argues, and I think he's correct, that this is one who is corporately worshiping Jesus on a regular basis. So that one who calls upon Jesus and confesses Jesus is part of the believing community. And this is looking at believers today, or in the case of the tribulation, it will be Jewish believers during the tribulation who are confessing Jesus in their corporate worship. And they believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. They will be saved. Well, the salvation here does not simply require faith, but it also requires confession, which, as I say, I think refers to ongoing corporate worship. And verse 10 explains verse 9. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Notice, David, here what the condition of justification is in Romans 10:10a. It's believing.
Believing unto
it's not confessing and believing. It's
right.
Just believing. And the heart is internal. It doesn't mean the blood-pumping organ. It doesn't mean some sort of heart faith. This means the inner person believes. And then it says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, Paul distinguishes between justification and salvation,
right.
Which, by the way, is appropriate because if you look at Romans 3:21-4:25,
yes.
The justification section,
yes.
Not once does Paul mention being saved.
So it's interesting. What you're saying is the word salvation is not used by Paul in the chapters where, as evangelicals, we would expect him to use it, because we often equate justification with salvation. We just think the two are synonyms. And you're saying apparently not for Paul.
Right. In Hodges' commentary on Romans, I believe his subtitle is deliverance from wrath, mm-hmm. or salvation from wrath. That's how he understands salvation, and I agree with it. But notice verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's a quote from Joel chapter 2, and it's referring to Jewish believers, not unbelievers, in the tribulation, and they will be saved from physical death by calling out to the Lord at the end of the tribulation as part of the believing community. And we know these are believers because of verse 14.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
What comes first, believing or calling?
It's the believing comes first, and then you call, according to Paul. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Okay, what comes first, hearing or believing?
Before I could believe in Jesus, I had to hear about him first.
Exactly.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Okay, so what comes first, the preacher or hearing the preacher?
So it's the preacher has to come.
Right. So Paul's progression here, it is a born-again person who is calling on the Lord in order to be saved. So David, Romans 10, 9 through 13 is both simple and complicated. It's simple in that in verse 10a, he makes it clear that the only condition of being justified or having righteousness is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the condition of being delivered from God's wrath in this life is more than that. We must also be part of the believing community. And by the way, a lot of people mistakenly say, have you ever heard people say the buses will wait? You know, you're at the evangelistic meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They say, you have to come forward in order to be born again because you have to publicly confess Christ.
Oh, yeah.
In order
yeah.
to be born again.
Yeah.
That's not true. What you have to do to be born again or justified is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the calling on the Lord here, or the confessing Him, is not a one-time event. It's ongoing worship of the Lord Jesus Christ in the believing community. So I would just challenge you, David, to take more look at this, because I think it's more nuanced than you were talking about.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about works and justification. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.